Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
Everybody, welcome to episode 9 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and right now we are chilling out on a Sunday evening. I got the homie Walt locked down here with me. Say what's up to the people, fam.
What's up, what's up, what's up? How's everybody doing? We back.
Yeah, well, not all of us.
right.
The struggle cast continues, my nigga. The struggle cast continues. Yeah, the homie Cliff couldn't make it with, you know, he couldn't be here with us tonight, but, you know, we got to keep it rolling, you know, the show must go on, man, and we got some stuff to kind of get into. We got some, you know, NCAA tournament shit to kind of get into. We got some boxing, or at least we had some boxing stuff that was we were supposed to talk about, but the homie Cliff ain't here, so we might not even get to that, but we got a lot of shit, man. So before we do, of course, gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play those messages here on the show and respond to you right here on the show as well, man. And, of course, the phone lines will be open while we're doing this show here live, right? You can also hit us up at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. And, of course, we'll read those emails and respond to those emails here live on the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span. Go ahead and follow your mans there. Hit your man Walt up. Walt Lockdown on Twitter. Walt Lockdown on Twitter. And you can also hit up the homie Cliff, man. His name on Twitter is DJ Neff2 on Twitter, man. So go ahead and follow us all. Chop it up with us throughout the week. And 5-star reviews are really, 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 really appreciated. For those of you who do that, you get a shout out here on the show, man. We will read your review. Even if you say something fucked up, we'll read it. We'll read it, man, just so long as you leave that 5 stars, right? And also, go ahead and hit up the Span Report Podcast Network store, man. Get your Beer and Chicken Podcast merch, man. Get your t-shirt, get your cup, like a water bottle. Get your coffee mug, man. Get you some stickers. Get you some shit, man. Real talk. And it helps the show grow. And it's your way of, like, kind of spreading the word and letting folks know that you messing with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Real talk. But what's going on, Walt, man? It's been a minute. What you been up to, brother?
Oh, man, same old, getting ready for these NBA playoffs. Ooh, the playoffs is coming. The playoffs is coming. It's my favorite time of year, boy.
Is it?
A little disappointed at the NCAA tournament. I was a little disappointed, but you know what? Them boys fought, though, man. You know, they was outmatched. You know, they was outmatched. But it's been a good time, you know what I'm saying, in the last week in the sports world. A lot of things been going on. A lot of things been happening. But, yeah, it's playoff time. NBA playoffs ain't nothing like it, man. My favorite time of year.
Yeah, man. Like, it's usually my favorite time of year when I got somebody that I can actively root for. Right now, I'm I'm kind of like, I don't really have a team to root for. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of rudderless. Like, I, like, because, like, say, for instance, with, like, the Bulls not really being worth a damn these last couple years, you know, what I would do is, like, it depends on who everybody hated, right? So, like, I remember when Kevin Durant went to the when he went to the Golden State Warriors, I was cool with the Golden State Warriors because I was like, I really wanted Kevin Durant to stick it to all these niggas who was talking shit about him going to Golden State, right? And then, like, I was also, like, the year prior to that, I was also cool with the Cleveland Cavaliers winning because I was cool with, like, LeBron James sticking it to everybody who said that he shouldn't have went back to Cleveland. So, like, that was how I was choosing who I was going to pull for, right? Now,
that's a good method. That's a good method.
Another thing about that, though, was I really was rooting for Cleveland because the Golden State Warriors had went 73-9 and they broke the Chicago Bulls 72-10 record for the regular season. And if the Warriors would have been able to finish that off, they'd have been labeled the greatest team of all time. But because they couldn't win the chip, don't mean a thing without the ring, baby. Ron Harper told y'all that back in 96, nigga. Like, so I was just more so like, yeah, I'm going to roll with Bron on this one, only because he's going to foil this whole thing going on with the Golden State Warriors taking that greatest team ever shit from my Chicago Bulls, man. That's really how that run down. So, yeah, man.
He gave you one.
He gave me one.
Bron helped y'all out.
Well, not only that, man, I was just kind of happy for him because he, you know, considering all the, like, sort of the flack that he got for going back to my, going back to Cleveland and people not really understanding how he was able to do it, to put his differences aside with what's my man named Dan Gilbert and go back to that, you know, go back to that town, go back to that franchise and do what he did and bring a championship back there, man. I thought that was awesome on top of the fact that, like, yo, he pretty much stopped Golden State from taking that greatest team ever shit from my Bulls, man. That's so LeBron.
He only went back to Cleveland because he felt like he owed him something, but go ahead. Continue.
I mean, shit, maybe. But, you know, even with that, though, like, you know, he also said he did it from him. I mean, the dude is, like, he's, like, from 30 minutes away from the place, man. So, like, there is a sense of home there for him. I don't think he ever really got rid of his, like, Akron area home. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like the family ever really, like, left. You know what I'm saying? I think his mom was down in Florida. Like, nigga, why the fuck would you want to go back there? You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, well, nah, that's a terrible comparison. But I remember when I was moving back here from Chicago and my family was like, nigga, why the fuck would you want to do that? Right? So you got that going on.
Same thing happened to me. I just moved back from New England. They're like, why?
Hey, man, like it worked out so far. You know what I'm saying? Like, here I am 10 years later and, like, yo, considering what the situation was 10, 12 years ago, like, it's working out. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. We got some stuff to talk about, man. Now, of course, like I said, the homie Cliff couldn't be with us here. He said he might call into the show a little bit later. He's kind of tied up. But of course, man, you know, I gotta ask you, man, what did you want to get into as far as, you know, chopping it up this week, man? What did you want to debate about? Or if you even if you want to debate.
Shout out to my girl. Thank you, sweetie, for dropping me off something to drink. That's what all the commotion y'all hear in the background, more bad. But I wanted to ask, how do you think this little, last week, I think it was last week, Wednesday.
Yeah.
RG3 got a $1 million contract for a year.
Okay.
To be a backup. But the thing is, he being the backup to Joe Flacco. And Joe Flacco about as old as Moses himself. And he probably got one foot out the door. He won hit away from his career being over. So that might be a little opportunity for RG3. Now, how you feel about RG3 getting his contract with the Ravens when they turned Kaepernick down last year?
I mean, like, honestly, it's just another example of, you know, a lot of these these teams showing that they didn't really give a damn about giving Colin Kaepernick a chance. They were really disingenuous about giving Colin Kaepernick a chance to, you know, to be in the league. I don't foresee Colin Kaepernick coming back into the league, man. Like, we haven't, and not only that, we haven't heard a hell of a lot from Colin Kaepernick himself on how much he wants to play, you know, what teams he would be willing to go to, any of that. Like, we haven't heard anything from Colin Kaepernick in over a year. And so, for me, man, I'm more so like, okay, like, I get where people are like, you know, here's another guy who was less qualified or, you know, less talented than Colin Kaepernick being given an opportunity while Colin Kaepernick is like languishing and not being in the NFL anymore. But, you know, at this particular point, almost, shit, I want to say damn it, almost 2 years, we've been talking about Colin Kaepernick in the NFL and the kneeling and everything else. Like, at what point does Colin Kaepernick come out and say, like, look, man, this is, I want to play football. And these are, you know, these are the parameters of how I want to go about doing it. Other than that, man, I get that people get upset with the fact that Colin Kaepernick isn't in the league anymore. But at the same time, man, like, Colin Kaepernick ain't really kind of coming out here and speaking up for himself either. So, you know, I wonder what the hell's going on with that. Like, why ain't you out here speaking up for yourself? Like, hey, man, I deserve an opportunity. I'm out here working out. I'm out here keeping myself in shape. I'm out here making sure that I'm football ready when the time comes. And I need to, I deserve an opportunity. And we've seen, you know, the NFL give plenty of guys chances, whether they were criminal, they killed motherfuckers, or had been, like, caught up in some drug shit, or then been caught up, like, beating on their women or whatever else. We've seen the NFL give guys chances. The fact that this dude made a political stance when it came to the NFL and teams are just looking at this guy like he's poison because of that, is still ridiculous to me. But at the same time, like, yo, man, you got to speak up for yourself at some point.
All right. Forgive me. I've been fighting the cold all week, man, so I might get a little sneeze in it or something in it. But I personally agree with you on pretty much everything you just said. It's been so many things that happened that kind of showed the NFL's hand when it comes to Colin Kaepernick. All of those teams last year, from Miami to Seattle to Baltimore, all those teams that had the opportunity to sign him, they all gave the reason was football. It was football related reasons.
Yeah.
But I think this this recent RG3 contract kind of lets us know that it really wasn't football. I mean, we all knew it anyway, but I'm saying that kind of exposed it a little bit. It really wasn't football reasons, cuz I don't know one person in the world that think RG3 is a better quarterback than Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
Not one. Not one person. So that just goes to show. And Cap will never get a job for the simple fact he sued the lawsuit. The lawsuit did it. If he would have never filed the lawsuit against the NFL, then he might have got away with, you know, being out for a year. They might have that might have been his punishment. Make him sit out for a year. Don't nobody give him a job. Make him feel the heat for a year. You see what I'm saying? And then somebody probably would have let him back in after a year or so after he come groveling back or whatever, trying to, you know, woo, woo, woo. But the lawsuit, I think the lawsuit killed it. When he tried to sue him, it's over for him. But I think it's a good thing for RG3 though. It was sad to see how he, you know, his injuries took him out of the league and diminished him so fast. I mean, he was nice in his early years. His rookie year, didn't he win Rookie of the Year? I believe RG3 won Rookie of the Year that year.
Probably, I don't remember.
Yeah, because he came out the same year Luck did, I believe. Andrew Luck. But it's a good thing for RG3. But and I think so. As far as Kaepernick not speaking, I think he's not speaking because he doesn't really want to play. I just think it's okay. About money.
Okay, so even if that were true, that if Kaepernick doesn't really want to play and the reason why he's not saying anything is because he doesn't want to play, you got a whole lot of people out here caping for you right now who was like giving the NFL shit because you aren't on the NFL roster. Now, I mean, I'm no like...
But he in a good space, not to cut you off, but that right there is... He in a good space right there. I think he likes that space. I think he likes that space of being for everybody to think the NFL ruined. Oh, y'all wrong for not giving Kaepernick a job. They wrong. They ruined. I think he liked bringing that type of negative attention to the league.
Okay.
But at the same time, in his heart of hearts, he don't really want to play. He's just enjoying being the martyr. Now, if he come out and say, well, I don't even really want to play football no more, now all of a sudden Colin Kaepernick's name is not being mentioned.
But,
and if his name is not being mentioned, then who's paying attention to his protests and anything else that he's doing?
But here's the thing.
You understand what I'm saying?
Nah, because here's the thing. When it comes to him not playing, if he doesn't want to play, come out and say this shit so people can get the fuck over it and stop elevating.
I agree with you.
Come out and say that shit. Don't just like string people along and like got these motherfuckers out here like, you know.
But I think that's what he doing. I think that's what he's doing.
And everything else when you got people out here like, you know, feeling like you were a martyr, and rightfully so. You were out of the league because of your political stance. But also, people are saying, like, yo, I'm not going to watch football until Colin Kaepernick gets a job. Now, is Colin Kaepernick going to tell these people, well, you ain't going to be watching football no more because I ain't playing no more? You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to come out and say that to people who are out here riding on his behalf. Let the people who are riding on your behalf know where you stand on this shit, as opposed to having them out here blind when they out here, you know, talking about how they're going to go forward with said protest or not protest, right? But, you know, as far as like it being good for RG3, I mean, you know, like RG3 was out because of like if there was a football reasons thing with RG3, it was RG3 being fucking hurt all the time, right? And, you know, not only that happened, but to have Colin Kaepernick out here not saying anything, it kind of like, you know, up to this point, like I'm saying that, like, all right, man, like I'm kind of over it. To a little bit of a, like, to a small degree, like, I'm just kind of over it, right? And then on top of that, you think about how, because of Colin Kaepernick's lack of speaking up for himself, how the narrative around him, you know, not being in the NFL and the protest itself was allowed to be hijacked by those in, you know, of the political bent, right? When Donald Trump comes out and says that, you know, all these guys should be fired and everything else. And then you got other guys in the league who decided they wanted to stand up and be a part of your movement. And, you know, they become the faces and the leaders of the movement. Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick is just in the cut chilling. Now, mind you, he's been out here doing the work. He's been out here donating money. He's been out here donating suits. He's been going out here. He's been going about doing the social justice work, and I'm not taking that away from him. But you got other players who became the face of that to the point where, like, yo, they came up with an agreement with the NFL for $89 million towards social justice work, right? And it feels like the NFL bought these dudes the fuck off. Like, all right, man, we give y'all this $89 million. Y'all need to cut all this kneeling shit the fuck out. Y'all hurting the bottom line. Right. And that's what it feels like. Like, it was basically like, yo, we did all of this protesting and it was probably going to go away anyway until Donald Trump said something. But now it's a thing. We feel like we have to do this because we've been challenged. We've been called son of a bitches in front of the world. The president, the dude who's occupying the White House right now, has been calling us out. Now we feel we got to do this out of principle, and we get $89 million right towards these programs. But at the same time, the message behind our movement has been hijacked, and we no longer control the narrative behind it. And part of that was Colin Kaepernick not coming out here and saying what the fuck he, you know, what's on his mind as far as him playing or not playing, man. And like that part of it, I'm just pretty much over it.
I agree with you. I'm kind of sick of hearing about it, you know. But It's going to be a topic until he does. Until he does, what I'm saying, it's keeping him in that spot where he's not relevant, but he's relevant because somebody's going to speak on him. What? Every quarterback that's worse than him that get a job. Oh, they couldn't get Colin Kaepernick. You're going to hear it. But until he comes out and say, I don't really want to play football.
It's going to fade away after a certain point anyway, whether he says something or not.
Amount of time,
you know what I'm
saying?
Like, I think not even like this year, but maybe even next year, folks are just going to not even be thinking about this shit no more because they're like, yo, man, maybe Colin ain't even got it no more. You know what I'm saying? He's been out of the game 2-3 years. Why are we still talking about this dude not getting an opportunity? Like, people are just kind of going to be over it, man. Like, they just are. It comes to a point where you start expending all of your political capital and people are just like, all right, you ain't got – I'm cool, man. I mean, I understand your fight and I agree with your fight, but at a certain point, I can't be out here fighting your fight for you more than you're fighting for yourself. You know, so
for yourself.
That's what's going on there, man. Now, I did kind of want to talk about that NCAA tournament, man, and the end result of that. You know, I had Michigan going all the way, man. I was out of all of us, man, I felt like I was the closest when it came to predicting that goddamn NCAA tournament, bro. I had Michigan all the way up into that national championship game. The only difference was I had them playing Kansas instead of Villanova, right? And, yo, man, let me tell you. Villanova, man, these motherfuckers had beeline on the court like, oh shit, I gotta, the timing is fucked up. Beeline should have been on the sideline like, well, I'll be goddamn, where's my sound?
Ooh.
What the hell just happened here? Look at this, technical difficulties while we broadcasting live. Ain't this some bullshit?
Hey, it happens, bro. It happens. Damn machines.
I know, right? Oh man, that sucks balls.
Did you watch the game?
I watched the game. So here's the thing, man. I watched that national championship game, and Michigan started out pretty good, man. They got out to, I think, a 14-7 lead, man. They was going to Mo Wagner, and Mo Wagner was giving them that inside-outside game. He was going, you know, like, he had it going early, but he was also winded early, right? And, you know, Michigan kind of stagnated, man. That's been one of the hallmarks of the season when it came to Michigan's basketball. It's like, yo, they can stop pretty much anybody, but then they go into these offensive lulls where they can't hit the side of a fucking barn into the hoop, man. So like, they went into one of these long protracted ass droughts, and you looked up and Michigan was trailing at halftime by 9, right? And so I'm watching the game, and I'm like, yo, man, first of all, the Billy Hoyle dude on Villanova, I forget to get Dante.
What's it? DiVincenzo.
Dante DiVincenzo, like, right?
Like, DiVincenzo.
He was balling out of his fucking mind, and the dude, he was coming off the bench. He was Villanova's sixth man, dude. So I'm looking at that. And I'm like, yo, man, they don't have anybody for this kid, man. Like, he's like attacking the rim, man. He's gunning it from 3-point range. Like, he was outside of Mo Wagner. He was probably the most recognizable player of the NCAA tournament after the tournament was over. Cause like, I'm gonna be real honest with you. Like, a lot of these teams, I didn't know who the fuck was on any of these teams, man. I didn't know none of these guys' names or anything. And one of the things I was thinking about, I was like, yo, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, like, they were actually, like, they actually kind of lucked up with DiVincenzo with, you know, actually having a name, you know what I'm saying, to, like, associate with this tournament. Because you didn't really have a whole bunch of stars in the tournament, man. You just didn't. You had a whole bunch of Cinderella teams, like, come through. Like, you know, Loyola Chicago was one of those Cinderella teams. What was another one? UMBC, you know, was one of those Cinderella teams knocking off Virginia earlier in the tournament, man. So you had those sort of things going on, but ultimately,
and
you
Virginia
didn't know
was number one, yeah, wasn't it?
Virginia was the number one team in the country overall, and UMBC mm-hmm. was like the 64th seed. You know what I'm saying? So you think about that, and like, you really didn't know who many of these guys were going, like, as the tournament progressed, right? Like, of course, we know who Mo Wagner is, and we know who Peoples is, and we know who Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman. We know who those dudes are because we watch Michigan. But for the most part, man, it was like, yo, a lot of these motherfuckers you just weren't really familiar with. And, yo, man, like, Villanova done it 2 times in 3 years. So, like, that's a juggernaut team over there, man. They really put they beat the brakes off of everybody they played in that national championship game, and I ain't got nothing but respect for what they did.
Well, I agree with you early in the game, I, you know, when the game first started, I thought Michigan was on top of things.
Yeah.
They, Wagner was going, but like you said, he got winded early. But at the end of the day, after the second quarter, by the second quarter, I realized that they were just outmatched.
And they were playing
them guys over. And again, they were playing scared.
They were playing timid. They started playing real motherfucking timid, man.
They definitely were. They definitely were. They wasn't ready for the moment. Put it that way. And the boys over at Villanova, a lot of those guys were like upperclassmen. They had been at Villanova for a couple of years or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them guys that was playing for Michigan was young. Kudos to Dante DiVincenzo, though. He come off the bench. He is sixth man, but he gets starter minutes. If you go back through the season, and you'll realize that like he don't start, but he come in like a couple minutes after the dang on first quarter start, and he play most of the game. You see what I'm saying? So it ain't like this guy a bum.
Oh, I'm not saying he's a bum at all. It takes a lot. It takes a special player to be able to like be that first guy off the bench and really
seize the moment
and really be part of the core of that team. You know, it's not a whole lot of guys, especially on the college level, who are able to do that. You know what I'm saying? To be a part.
It almost seemed like this when in the midst of the game early on, you know, in the midst of the game, it almost seemed like coach put him in the game and he looked around and said, don't none of y'all want to be the best player in this game? Do y'all realize we playing the national championship game? Okay. I came to play. And he just turned it on, man. And it wasn't nothing nobody can do. Had it not been, even the coach, what's his name? Jay Wright, yeah. Villanova coach.
Yeah.
Had it not be for DiVincenzo playing the way he did, they probably wouldn't have won that game.
It'd have been closer.
You know what I'm saying? It'd have been closer.
It'd have been a closer game.
And but... if it would have been closer, that means you know, Michigan would have had more fight towards the end and they could have went either way. But when you getting beat like that, they wasn't really trying to fight towards the end of that game. I just thought they were outmatched. At the end of the day, I just thought they were outmatched and Villanova was a better team. I was disappointed because I thought, you know, they had the I thought they had the mojo on their side. I thought it was all Michigan, man. I thought it was their year. Considering they went to the I think it was the Elite Eight last year.
Yeah.
And then they advanced all the way to the champ. I thought it was their year, man. So I was a little disappointed. But Villanova earned that chip, man. They earned that chip. And it was a good game.
That's what happened.
they played us on a lot of calls early in that game too, man. A lot of
Brunson was getting
fouls. They weren't calling them offensive fouls, I think it was.
Yeah, Brunson was getting away with a lot of fucking push offs. But I don't even want to
Yes, he was.
I don't even want to make it about, you know, like, you know, the referees and the calls that didn't get called and everything else. There were a few times where Brunson was able to get away with push offs and, you know, like the shit just didn't get called. But like ultimately, man, like I said, Michigan started playing really motherfucking timid. There were times where I was watching that game and I saw dudes pass up wide open shots because they were just like, yo, I don't want this. Like Simpson came off the bench and he was doing that shit. Like he had wide open three pointers and he just like passed that bitch like it was a hot potato. He wanted no parts of taking a shot. He wanted no parts of taking those shots. And then on top of that, you know, like Michigan, they weren't really attacking the basket in the ways in which they should, partly because they're a fucking poor ass free throw shooting team. And
that's a fact.
Yeah. Like even Simpson, this dude's a point guard. He shoots 56% from the three, you know, from the free throw line. Like that's horrid, dude. Like, I don't know. That's one thing. Like I can never understand guys who can't hit fucking free throws. I will never understand it for the life of me why dudes can't hit fucking free throws. Like free throws, you out there by yourself. Nobody's challenging you. You get enough time to set yourself and everything else. And it becomes a rhythm thing. Not only a rhythm thing, but a muscle memory thing. If you're practicing that shit well enough, it becomes a muscle memory thing. And you go through the same motion every time. I can never understand why these dudes can't hit free throws. Even guys in the NBA, like, how the fuck did you get to the NBA and you can't hit free throws? You know what I'm saying? So, like, you got that whole thing going on, man. Like, Michigan.
Free throws is fundamental. Like, how the fuck you get this far and you can't?
But obviously, like, it's not fundamental for everybody in the development, right? I mean, we've seen guys come up and go to the league and not really ever really develop a decent free throw stroke, right? Like Shaq is a prime among them. Shaq would say, "I hit him all the time in the practice. You know, you can do Hack a Shaq
all you want. You had to put the Shaq voice on there.
You can do Hack a Shaq all you want. But I come through when it means the most. You know, I hit my free throws. You could do the Hack a Shaq, it would backfire on you." Like, all this dumb shit, right? But, like, even when it starts trickling down to the guards not being able to hit free throws, man, like, that's a problem, dude. Like, these dudes, I don't know. But, like, with Michigan, like I said, man, really disappointed with how they played in that game towards the end. Like, there was a stretch in the second half, the beginning of the second half, where, like, the lead had got – they had let Villanova get up to about, I want to say, 18. And they got the lead down to 12. And I was like, yo, man, if they can get this lead down to single digits before, like, the seven-minute mark, they might have a shot at this. And then Villanova just went right back up 18. I'm like, that's when I cut the motherfucking game off. I didn't even finish watching it. Like, oh, that's it. The game over.
Every time Michigan thought they was finna claw their way back in the game, I'm at work when the game going on, mind you. I got the I'm a Sling TV dude.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I got the Sling TV app on my phone. I be at work. So when it's games on like that or whatever, I can hear it through my headphones, but I might not be able to see it because I'm busy doing other stuff. But every time Michigan tried to claw back in the game, all I heard coming from the other end, Dante DiVincenzo, I'm like, damn, he's sucking the blood out of their ass.
Yeah, man. He was killing them. He was killing them, man. Real talk.
He crushed their spirit. I'm like, damn. Every time they got Michigan got Dante DiVincenzo. I'm like, this DiVincenzo kid, boy.
Yeah, man, he was giving them the business. So Dante DiVincenzo, you know, I think he was named the most. What do they call him in the NCAA?
He got the Wooden Player.
The Wooden Award goes to the National Player of the Year. It wasn't that. He got, I guess.
He got that one too, though, didn't he? Oh, no, Brunson. Did Brunson get that?
I don't know who got it. It wasn't him, though. It wasn't him. But, God damn it. What's the name of that award for the most? It's not the MVP. Most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament.
Outstanding player, yeah.
He got most outstanding player. So that's what happened with DiVincenzo. Now, what do you think about this whole shit that people was making out about him saying nigga on Twitter 7 years ago, man?
I was mad as hell.
You was mad?
Leave that boy alone. No, I was mad. I'm mad because of the simple fact that they tried to crush his moment.
Mm.
Like, the boy just dogged the National College Championship. And you want to bring up some shit he did, quoting some rap lyrics 7 years ago, six-something years ago. Like, who dug this up?
Well,
they ain't got nothing else better to do.
Hey, trust me, man. If somebody don't like you, they will find time to do some shit. They will find time to get petty.
Like, what did he do, though, to deserve that?
Like, being in this podcast, being in this podcast game, man, I'm going to tell you right now, if we doing this for any real length of time, man, it's going to be some shit you done said on this podcast that somebody ain't going to agree with. And they're going to be like, yo, man, remember on episode 8 when you said this bullshit? And you be like, God damn, I don't even remember saying that. Like, that's what, like, that's what is going to happen, man. Like, personally, like, the dude was 14 when that happened. I would hope that, you know, that he's not just using that word as flippantly as he was in the rap lyric or whatever, but also understanding that, yo, he was listening to hip hop. He probably got some homies around him who allow him to use the word, you know what I'm saying? And at 14, I don't think you really do understand all the nuances and the politics around your usage of said word, man. So, Yeah, man, I thought it was something like somebody came out to kind of shit on his moment too. It might have even been some Michigan motherfuckers. Who the hell knows, man? But
probably,
you know, or better yet, it might have been some Michigan State motherfuckers, so everybody can be like, "Yo, that was Michigan that said that they salty asses," right? So, I wouldn't put it past.
Let me ask you this:
I wouldn't put it past.
They call him. They saying, you know, because he a white boy, right? Mm-hmm. But what's his last name?
DiVincenzo. So he's Italian.
What that sound like to you? Thank you.
Hey man, Italians can be racist. Italians can be racist too, man.
Oh no, I'm not saying they can't be racist. I'm just like they making it seem like, oh, he's a white boy, so using the N-word. Like he ain't even like he Italian. Like
I don't know if him being Italian really makes much of a difference, dog. Like I'm not.
Yeah, and no, it doesn't make a difference. As far as him using the word, I'm like you. I hope he's not out there just using the word. But you got a 14-year-old Italian kid listening to hip hop music. I'm not. We gonna hold that against him tonight, and no. He just bust Michigan ass in the national championship. Come on, no.
Yeah, I'm just like, saying. I get you. I'm just saying, like him being Italian don't mean a motherfucking thing. Like if he's still out here popping that shit, like we got a problem. You know, I'm gonna fuck about him being no Italian dude. Like yo, man, at 14, we give you a pass on that one. You ain't no better. You know better now. You know what I'm saying? Don't be out here popping that shit.
Now if he would have did that. The night before the game.
If he'd have said that the night after, like, I'm balling on these niggas. Like, hold on, niggas. Because he did ball on these niggas, though. That's the funny part.
But you go back to the boy Twitter feed from years ago. Like, damn, man. Talk about doing your due diligence. Talk about doing your job as a reporter. Like, who dug up this dirt?
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you, dude. Like, it's not hard to find shit that people say. On Twitter, it's not. That shit is Googleable. You can go on Google, type in a couple dead ass. You can go on Google and you can type in, say my name, type in span and I don't know, nigga. And you might pull up some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that hard for people to find out some of the things that you said. Like even when I was talking about Stephen Clark yesterday on the Span Report, and like, yo, somebody found him talking greasy about black women. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that hard for them to find, you know? So I get, you know, the whole thing of, you know, he was 14 or whatever. And, yo, it might not have been like, you know, it was probably real shitty to bring that up around the time of the national championship and everything. And he really did ball out and whatnot. But to bring it up then when the dude was like 14 when he said it, yo, you would hope in the 7 years since then he would learn to not do that again. But we don't know. You know what I'm saying? Now, he, like I said, he can't let that shit happen again where we're like, oh, shit, hold on. We got a problem with Dante. You know what I'm saying? We got a problem.
Right.
We got a problem with Dante. Dante out here don't know his bound. He don't know.
Like, what the fuck you know?
Dante out here being a habitual line stepper. We can't have that, man. So you got that going on, man. Now, another thing that's been going on in sports, man. Your boy, LiAngelo Ball, has declared for the 2018 NBA draft, man. All right,
man.
So.
Right. No.
So, got a question for you. Will LiAngelo Ball get drafted? And if he gets drafted, who do you think will be the team to call his name?
First part of the question. Hell to the no. He ain't getting drafted.
Okay.
Second part of the question. Nobody, because his ass ain't getting drafted. Man, the boy gonna go to the what's the league? The G League or whatever the boy gonna he tired of being over in Lithuania. Uh-huh. That's what this is all about. He can't do the Lithuania no more. And that's what it's all about. So what's going to happen now is he going to enter the draft thinking like, oh, well, this kid ain't good enough to make it, but we'll take him on the G League. We'll take him in the G League. That's all that's going to happen. And it's going to get him back to the States. He can make a couple dollars. He can play some basketball. And his daddy can look like an asshole for taking him all the way over to Lithuania for nothing.
Well, I kind of agree with you. I don't think he'll get drafted. There's an off chance he might be a late second round pick, right? Somebody, I think somebody be like, you know what? We can take the second round pick. We're not really going to do a whole hell of a lot with it. We can take the second round pick and we can, like, you know, get him and we can develop him. And, you know, that might be a thing, right? The thing about him not wanting to play in Lithuania anymore, there might be something to that. I think it has more to do with their father's decision-making more so than their decision-making. I don't think LiAngelo or LiAngelo or LaMelo are making many decisions when it comes to their basketball careers. I just don't. I think LeVar Ball has complete, utter control over that entire situation. They like the Jacksons. Like, whatever LeVar Ball says goes when it comes to their careers. And so, I think with LeVar Ball already stating that, yo, the Lakers need to be the team that takes LiAngelo and LaMelo. And if they don't, then Lonzo going to be going up out of here. I'm taking my boy off of the Lakers. Like, you know, I think that plays a large part into why some teams are just like, I think that plays a large part in why teams are just like, yo, I ain't fucking with either one of these kids because I ain't got time to be dealing with their daddy. They daddy on some bullshit. I ain't got time for none of this stuff. But, you know, like the whole thing with LiAngelo and even possibly LaMelo, the whole thing about them declaring for the NBA draft really is because they daddy talking, man. I think everything is really about LeVar Ball and what LeVar Ball thinks they should be doing. And I don't really think these dudes have much control over their, you know, the say over their careers, man. I really don't.
The whole notion that he can just like kind of trying to force his kids in the NBA. Remember when he was talking about that whole if they all play together, you take them all or you don't take none of them,
yeah,
type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like that whole I think it's stuff like that that makes me see. I was one of them dudes that like LeVar.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's shit like that.
I never did. I was like, man, fuck this guy.
I liked him at first because I liked his entrepreneurship with trying to go after the shoes or whatever. And I supported it. I thought it was stupid to what he was charging for him and all that extra shit. I thought he was a dumbass for that. But I liked his go get it mentality. Like, fuck you, I can do it myself type of shit.
Uh-huh.
But it's shit like this that make me wonder, like, is he doing his kids more harm than he is good when it comes to their career? Because take Lonzo, for example. Ever since LeVar went to Lithuania with the other boys, Lonzo been doing better on the court. But the whole time LeVar was here, all that chirping and this and that, talking about the coach and, you know, Magic got to meet with him and tell him to tone it down. And everybody talking about Lonzo like he finna be the bust of the century. You see what I'm saying? So it's one of them things where I'm like, damn, is he doing his kids more harm than he doing them good? He should have left them boys in school, man, and let them let their life run. Even if Lonzo was the only one to make it to the NBA. That's still a hell of a life for all three of them boys to live. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because they could have went overseas and made their own money, or they could have turned out to be sports agents. I mean, hell, if LeBron James can take all his homeboys, put them all through goddamn school, get them, and they all become these top agents and every motherfucking thing else, what do you think Lonzo could have did for his brothers if they didn't make it?
And you know what?
If they didn't make it.
That was one of the things that I was saying early on, man. Like, when people were talking about, like, yo, man, LeVar Ball, how can you be mad at LeVar Ball, man? LeVar Ball, he done willed his sons to NBA stardom, man. He got him to play for the team he wanted him to play for. He spoke all that shit into existence, man. They got their own shoes, man. Niggas is buying the shoes and all this other stuff. And they're like, man, you a hater, dog. You just a hater, man. How you gonna be mad at this black man for going up against the system and winning, man, nigga? Like, real talk, dog. I'm like, yo, to me, I'm like, yo, there's a way to do this shit. Like, I'm not mad. I'm not one of those people who are against you, like, trying to find a different lane. But what I did find I was like, yo, why is this dude always out in front when it's his kid's ability that has them there in the first place? And my right. whole thing with LeVar Ball has always been like, yo, man, let their talent be what speaks for y'all. It doesn't have to be your mouth all the fucking time. Your mouth creates issues for your boys, right? So when you talk about, you know, Lonzo Ball playing much better basketball since, you know, his brothers and his dad been over in Lithuania or whatever. And, you know, maybe he's been able to gel with the Lakers a hell of a lot better now that the noise is gone, right? And I told Cliff right here on this show, I said, yo, Lonzo can play ball, but it's his daddy that is creating issues for Lonzo. That's always been the thing. Like, Lonzo has been able to play ball. It was Lonzo's ability that got him to the number two pick. It wasn't because his daddy spoke him up. People were aware of Lonzo Ball before his daddy ever said anything, or before his daddy became a public figure, so to speak. People were aware of who Lonzo Ball was. He was already a fucking prospect at UCLA before anybody really knew who his daddy was, man. So, you know, the notion that they needed LeVar Ball to go out here and speak all of this shit was kind of like always bogus to me. I always thought that LeVar Ball could have just took a step back. He could be supportive of his sons, but he don't have to be in the forefront and take it all the shine from them. Right. And so that has always been my beef with LeVar Ball. As far as like the boys going pro, like I kind of feel like he really kind of screwed LaMelo in a way, because, yo, it was LiAngelo who got caught stealing. It wasn't LaMelo. Now, why is LaMelo over in Latvia or Yugoslavia playing fucking basketball with these dudes who aren't really, you know, like, maybe it's good for him. I don't know. I mean, we'll see the results on the back end, right? I don't think it was the greatest idea in the world, but because you now taking your son's amateur status away from him, he could never really develop on a college level or anything like that. Like, he can never really go up against talent that is comparable to his talent to help, you know, sharpen his iron, so to speak. Like that was to me, I kind of like that was taken away from them because of the fact that their dad was such a fucking egomaniac and it always had to be about him making the decision for them and them not never really having any control over how their careers were going to go. It's always going to be about LeVar Ball and what LeVar Ball thinks these ball boys should do. And it's going to be interesting as these guys grow up and become older and become and really want to assert themselves as their own men, how that becomes a thing between LeVar Ball and his boys, man. Real talk.
I will say this. I can hear whatever was coming back, but I will say this. I hope he get drafted. I hope he do. Just because I want to see him win. I think the youngest boy, LaMelo, is a better ball player than Jello. And I think if they would have waited. Say that again.
I said, did you just call that nigga Jello?
Ain't that his name?
Thought it was LiAngelo.
That's his name, Jello. They call him Jello, whatever, Jello. Okay. LiAngelo Jello.
Okay.
But I think LaMelo's a better ball player. And I think if they would have waited until LaMelo had come to the time where he wanted to enter the draft, say LaMelo would have played in Lithuania another season, another year, you know, and Jello stayed over there and played with him another year. I think they both could have entered the draft together. And I think that Jello would have got on just because his little brother's a dog. You see what I'm saying? Just because his little brother got a bit more skill. And I think he could have rode it. I don't want to say ride his coattail, but I think he would have got a little bit more notoriety if him and his brother came out in the same draft.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think NBA scouts are that foolish, right? Like, we just gonna take this dude just off of the strength of him being a ball. Like, I don't think they're that foolish. Like, if they don't see that he has the...
But he can't play. It's not like he can't play ball at all.
There's a whole lot of...
He can't play. It's just that his little brother...
There's a whole lot of dudes who can play that don't mean they can play at the NBA level. There's a whole lot of dudes who are like who will bust out the fucking gym. You bring some niggas out, like, say for instance, you bring a dude who's from Detroit or whatever. He's playing overseas and whatnot, balling out of control overseas. Can't play worth a damn in the NBA. He'll come back home and he'll bust open the gym, the YMCA and everything else. Like, there are guys who are good, but that doesn't mean that they're NBA good and that they're star NBA good. You know what I'm saying? There are levels to this shit. So, like, that's the thing that I'm talking about. Like, we can talk about whether or not the guy is good or not, but whether or not he's NBA good is an entirely different thing. And, you know, that's the thing with, like, LiAngelo and LaMelo. Like, it's going to, you know, we're going to see later on whether or not those dudes are at that level. Lonzo's there. I think Lonzo's a really good ball player. I think Lonzo's, you know, he's going to pan out. Like, as much as folks were, like, really on him early on about him possibly being a bust, like, I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think Lonzo is going to pan out. But his brothers, there's question marks around his brothers, and a lot of those question marks around his brothers are also surrounding the fact that the decisions that LaVar Ball is making. I think that's where most of the question marks around LiAngelo and LaMelo are. It's around the decision that LaVar Ball is making. On top of that, yo, their skill set might not necessarily translate to an NBA level game, man. Real talk. But yo, you know what time it is, though, right?
Well, winging it.
All right.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
All right, man. What you winging it on tonight, man?
I want to ask. I want to call the homie Conor McGregor to the carpet on this one, man.
Okay.
I'm a man that's trying to raise kids, and I go to work and I bust my ass on a daily basis, just like any other regular hardworking American. I'm from blue collar city. So for this man to feel like he want to give away money, Conor, let me get some of that cheese. You might as well go ahead, cut me a check. Let me get some of that bread because you giving money away. What in the hell was you thinking? For those who ain't heard yet, apparently Conor McGregor is facing assault charges for throwing a dolly through a window of a van. Of a bus and injuring a couple of MMA fighters or whatever. Him and well, I think it was like 20 other people flew from Ireland to bum rush these dudes over whatever problem he had about, you know, somebody said something or somebody did something to his boy. I don't know the whole, but all I know is this man got on the plane, flew hours, got off the plane, went to the event and bum rushed these dudes at the event. Do you know what kind of lawsuits this man is about to face? That $100 million you just got from the Floyd fight, dog, it's gone. Whatever you done spent, minus whatever they finna sue you for, you better take the next fight, Dana White, or anybody. You alley tomorrow if these dudes, but come on. Almost every fighter on that bus, especially the ones that got injured, is gonna sue you. MMA is going to sue.
How y'all doing out there?
Oh, shit.
There's a Senegalese.
I'm sorry. I don't know why the fuck that shit started up. My bad.
But all these people finna sue him. So that little $100 million that he got is gone. He might as well would have wrote that check and just gave it over to somebody who needed it. Kind of, I could have used that bread, man. You out cold. That was the dumbest move I've seen all goddamn week. In a sport where if you got a problem with somebody, you can walk into a ring, bare knuckles, and handle your business. Why? That's all I'm gonna say. Why?
Man, you are upset. Dumb. You are upset at Conor McGregor.
I just hate dumb shit. I just hate dumb shit. You just won how much money off that Mayweather fight? You come and do some dumb shit like this for everybody to sue you and take it, and face criminal charges,
monkeys, bare ass,
and risk not being and risk not being able to work for Dana White no in the MMA no more. Get, man, you stupid.
Well,
yes, that's just
maybe the problem with Conor McGregor is he kind of feels like this, man. Okay, and that didn't play either. God damn it! I don't know what's going on with
my
tracks.
You're not doing so.
I don't know what's going on.
You're not doing so well.
I'm saying, man, my tracks are just like all over the place. They're not even playing tonight, man. I don't know. But I'm winging it on tanking in the NBA, man. Ooh. Philadelphia 76ers have shown folks the way. Them motherfuckers are currently like third or fourth in the Eastern Conference, and the standings are possibly going to make the playoffs this year. Philly tanked like shamelessly for the last 4 or 5 years, man. And folks were always talking about following the process. And now you got teams all over the league following the Philadelphia 76ers model. My Chicago Bulls being one of them. I gotta say, I hate this shit. I gotta say, I wish teams weren't so motherfucking monkey see, monkey do when it comes to team building processes. Like, you know, it's perfectly okay for you to come up with your own shit. You ain't got to be out here selling top-notch ticket prices for games while you putting out a bullshit product on the floor, right? And then also, I want to, like, kind of get at a lot of the fans who still go to these fucking games knowing you're not going to get the best product on the floor. I kind of feel like, yo, the only justification you should have for going to these games when you know a star is coming through, like, yo, I get to see Kobe play, or I get to see LeBron play, or I get to see Anthony Davis play. But, like, to just go and get to a game with, like, the Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets, that motherfucker should be empty, bruh. Nobody should be at that game. Nobody should be at a Detroit Pistons, Orlando Magic game. Like, nobody should be at that game.
Just went 2 weeks ago and spam. My feelings hurt, but go ahead.
I'm just saying. Nobody should have been there. Like, we got to stop. Like, it used to be teams were a hell of a lot more creative in how they built their squads, man. Whether that was through the draft, whether that was through free agency, whether that was through trades, man. You built your team through a number of, like, through a facet of different ways. And there's a lot of teams right now who are just saying, fuck it, we just going to lose on purpose and hope that we come through on the draft. Because depending on what market you in, top-notch players might not necessarily want to come there. It's amazing what Milwaukee has been able to do over the last couple years, man. Because, yo, like, if you think about it, nobody is Milwaukee a destination city? Nah. Nobody trying to go to Milwaukee, nigga. I've been to Milwaukee. It ain't the shit. You know what I'm saying? Sort of like Detroit. Right now, like, Detroit ain't the shit. Like, ain't nobody, like, clamoring to come here. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm tired of watching shitty basketball, man. As a lover of the game, man, I'm tired of watching shitty basketball and being told that it's some shit I should enjoy. So that's what I'm winging it on tonight, man. But before we get out of here, Walt, tell them folks how they can get in touch with you, bro.
Mr. Dot Lockett 81 on Instagram. Mr. Lockett 81 on Instagram. Walt Lockdown on Twitter. Hit me up.
All right, man. And the homie Cliff, I guess he's still tied up, right? He was supposed to call in, but I guess the homie tied up.
Oh, man.
But
the show ain't the same without you, Cliff.
I know, right? But before we get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here. I almost said it again. At the Beer and Chicken Pod. get at us at the Beer and Chicken Podcast, man. Yeah, I got a lot going on, bro. Yeah, hit us up at the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails, man. We'll read those. We'll play those on the show and respond on the show. Hit us up on the email at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. We'll read those here live on the show. Respond here live on the show. Those 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We really do love those, man. Go ahead, leave us one of those on iTunes. Yeah, man, we really do. Go ahead, leave those, and we'll read those here live on the show, no matter what the hell you said about us. Read those 5-star reviews, man. Those get read here live on the show. And for all of your Beer and Chicken Podcast needs, man, go to beerandchickenpod.com. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. As a matter of fact, the last poll that we had was who did you guys think was going to win the national championship game, or for who's going to win in the Final Four. We had Michigan, Villanova, Loyola, Chicago, and Kansas. Villanova won with 60% of the vote, and Michigan came in second with 40% of the vote. So most of us had Michigan and Villanova in the national championship game, and it came out pretty much how that came out, right? So yeah, man, you can go there. You can go to beerandchickenpod.com. You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls, man. You can leave comments. All of that is available, man. You can donate to the show. You can buy merch, man. Our store is linked there. You can do everything, man, at beerandchickenpod.com, man. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that, man. But we're about to get out of here. The Walking Dead is coming on in less than an hour, so we got to go. But yo, Walt, I'll talk to you later, bro.
Holla at you, man.
Peace.